Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf kuf. Gentlemen, what I'd like to do is start again from the beginning of the perek. Let's get a broader look on this again. So, the perek began yesterday, and we'll just review the first daf over here. Arvei Pesachim somuch l'mincha, lo yochal adam ad shetechshach, afilu ani shebiyisrael lo yochal ad sheyasef. So if we're talking about Somach L'mincha, we're going to see in the Gemara what that means is that when you're within a half an hour of the time of Mincha Kitana, and remember that Mincha, there are two Minchas, both of the Korbanos Mincha are brought Kineged the Korban Tamid, the Tamid Shaben Arbaim. And the question over here is, of course, when it comes, Dafka Ter of Pesach, that's the time where we have the Korban of the Tamid Shaben Arbaim is brought early. Remember, that's its earliest time. So that would be how we define Mincha Gedola, and that's from Shesh Sha'ot V'Mechza. However, normally, remember the Mishnah came out, that because of the pressure of making sure that we bring everything before the Tamid Shaben Arbaim, because as it says, Aleha, V'Kriv Aleha, Aleha Hashleim, Kol HaKorbanot Kulam on the Tamid Shal Shachar, so we put off the Hakrov of the Tamid Shaben Arbaim until 9.5 hours. That became called the Mincha Kitana time, which leaves us only that time from 9.5 hours until the end of the day, until 12 hours, about 12 hours being the time of Shkia, to daven mincha. And when it says somuch l'mincha, it turns out in the Gemara, what we're talking about is a half an hour before mincha kitana, which would mean from the time of nine. So that's the beginning of the 10th hour. So this is a half an hour before. Don't eat until it becomes dark. And that means we want to make sure that you're going to be good and hungry for your achila, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. Afilu ani shebiyisrael, just by the way, you should know, there are those who learn the words afilu ani shebiyisrael is the end of the sentence, lo yochal adam ad shetechshach, even though he's very poor and he hasn't eaten for a long time. Okay, that is not the normative pshat, so we won't read it that way. Afilu ani shebiyisrael, lo yochal ad sheyasef, and even though he's very poor, he should not eat until he is meisiv. You see, that's the problem. Who cares how poor he is? I mean, what is sitting down by Hasava have to do with until he's if he's poor? That was what forced people to say, well, maybe afilu ani shebiyisrael is not referring to that. It's referring to what came before. But as Tosis explains the idea of afilu ani shebiyisrael lo yochal, you might have thought, listen, this guy, what does he know from sitting on a big Roman couch? The guy barely has a stool in his house to sit on. And for him to sit, sheyasev, is not even considered to be derech hasev. He's going to sit on a stool and he's going to lean over him. It's ridiculous. So maybe he shouldn't be meisiv, kamash malan, that even he is mechuyev to do whatever is possible to be meisiv letzat small. And so we'll see the specific denim of hasava later on. And furthermore, this certainly is true of Ani Shebiyisrael, even though normally he would never be eating in a way that he would need arba kosot shel yayin, and we would not supply him with arba kosot shel yayin. In this case, we have to make sure that the tzedakah fund supplies this to him, afilu min ha-tamchui, even if he's eating from the soup kitchen. Now, there are those who learn that what this means is that even if demanding from him that he has to have 4 kosot of yayin, because again, as the Rashbam points out over here, by the way, I just should mention that again, the normative red pirish on Arvei Pesachim is the pirish of the Rashbam, and not what is called here the pirish of Rashi, a question of what exactly the pirish Rashi that is referred to here is. So people rely on the Rashbam. In any event, so as the Rashbam explains, also, the issue over here could also mean that the idea of somebody, even if it pushes him over the edge, meaning normally this person would not need to eat from the tamchui. He had enough for 2 seudot. When you have enough for 2 seudot, you don't take from the soup kitchen. However, as the Rashbam points out, this obviously is not only a chiyuv on a gabbai tzedakah to make sure that he has 4 kosot of yayin, because it means that it's the chiyuv that he needs to be yotzei 4 kosot of yayin. So then that would mean that if they don't give it to him, then what he would have to do is whatever is necessary. Sell something that you have, sell a piece of clothing or something, or go work extra for a night to make sure you get extra money for Arba Kosher Yayin. So then, as others point out, this could also mean that if needing to have the Arba Kosher Yayin pushes him over the edge and forces him to now be a real Ani Min HaAniyim, so that he is able to only to take directly for the soup kitchen because he doesn't have enough even for two meals, he would have to do that. Okay, so now let's take a look at the overall question of eating on Erev Pesach versus eating on every Erev Shabbos or every Erev Yontov. And before we get to that, we have to ask ourselves, what do we mean, don't eat? Don't eat what? I mean, later on, the Gemara says that you are allowed to eat fruit, meat, just things that are sort of hors d'oeuvres that you would eat. So what exactly does it mean not to eat? Not to eat matzah? Remember that we learned before, we brought that beautiful Yerushalmi, that somebody who eats matzah anytime on Erev Pesach, forget about 9 o'clock on, is like sleeping with your fiancé in her father's home before the wedding. Beautiful mashal to the chashivas and chavivas of the relationship to the matzah. But it can't mean, therefore, in the Mishnah, don't eat matzah from 9, you can't eat matzah at all. So what the heck is it referring to? So there's actually 2 basic approaches over here. Tosis brings it's referring to eating matzah ashira. So we're going to see later on, matzah, you're only going to be yotze if it is matzah without additional flavorings and things that make it not lechem oni. So it has to be lechem oni. Okay, so what about if you make matzah with all these delicious fruit juices or eggs and so on, what we call egg matzahs today? So as Tosis brings, the Rabbeinu Tam used to be noheg that he would eat Erev Pesach egg matzah, and he would eat it until Tesha Shos, because that's exactly what the Mishnah would be saying. After Tesha Shos, don't eat something serious, like a mizonos, which would be an egg matzah. Others learn that it's referring to other things. You don't eat matzah at all. It's a question b'chlal. Some people who hold that there's a problem with egg matzah, and therefore b'chlal wouldn't eat egg matzah on the whole Pesach, nothing to do with not eating Erev. But in any event, others learned that even though later on the Gemara says mini targima, which are these, you know, pieces of fruit, bread, meat rather, and easy to digest little pre-suda things, that it's referring to some things that are eaten often arai, but to eat a lot of that stuff and to have a whole kabetza of it or so on, that would be awesome. And therefore, what it's referring is not to eat something like that on Erev Pesach. Okay, so then the question is, l'gabi Erev Shabbos. And then the equivalent would be that over here we're talking about egg matzah. So when it's talking about Erev Shabbos, we need to really eat bread. So don't eat a seuda with bread, according to the approach of the Tosfos, on Erev Shabbos or on any Erev Yontif. And this would be specifically, there's other dinim bichlal, not to be koveya a seuda on Erev Shabbos. The many hold that's even Mishas Chatzos, and that's to sit down to a large seuda. We're over there, we're only matir such a thing in the case of if it's a seuda shel mitzvah, you have a bris milah, which also we tried to do before chatzos, you have a chasana. But here what we're talking about is not necessarily be koveya a large seuda, but just to eat even if you were eating, as I said, the mini targima. We pasken both of these. So even the mini targima and even the egg matzah are just the kezias of not to eat. So then you wouldn't do that also from Somoch L'mincha. Isn't that true? D'tanya lo yochal adam ba'arvei Shabbatot v'yom tovim. Any Erev Shabbos and any Erev Yontov. As I mentioned yesterday, people are more machmer on Erev Sukkos because of the problem of needing to eat in the Sukkah, which is a specific mitzvah l'achila, therefore to be mechavev that specific achila as well. Same thing as the matzah over here, which wouldn't apply to Erev Shabbos or Erev Shavuos. So there it says, don't eat min ha-mincha l'mala, k'dei she'ikanes l'shabbat k'shu'u ta'ava, divi Rabbi Yehuda. So that way you will be in a really hungry mood and you'll be eating with special chavivut, your su'udah shel Shabbos, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Yossi Omer, och v'holech ad she'techshach, you can continue to eat until nightfall. So then that would mean that Rabbi Yossi is not concerned with the question of your eating and not being able to eat, you'll continue to have an appetite when you eat later as well. So then that means that our Mishnah, we're assuming, has got to be going Alibi Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to think that you're going to lose your appetite. And if that's the case, what's the difference, Alibi Rabbi Yehuda, between Erev Pesach and Erev Yontif? So as we mentioned yesterday, there's going to be a number of different approaches to this question. Rav Huna says, look, you obviously misunderstood Rabbi Yossi. Actually, Rabbi Yossi agrees that when it comes to Erev Pesach, you have to be more machmir than you would in Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. And the mission is going Alibi Rabbi Yossi. And Lo Tzricha El Rabbi Yossi, who normally Otzochav Alech Adshe Techashech, that is Dafka on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. But when it comes to an Erev Pesach, we're more machmir. Why are we more machmir? We're more machmir because of the Chiyuva of Matzah. Over there, he would be Maida, and the Mishnah has come to tell me that he's Maida. Now, why would he be Maida? There's different approaches. Some learn he would be Maida because the Chiyav of Achilas Matzah is a Dioraisa. Masha Enkein, the Chiyav of Akarata, the Shabbat Oneg, is Divrei Kabbalah and a Derabbanan. But there's many who argue and hold that it is a Dioraisa, and it's included in the Dinim generally of Kovet Shabbos, which we'll be talking about. And so we have to make a nafkamina. Maybe the nafkamina would be in terms of the specificity of the achila. Now, the other question is, which relates to this, is as Tosis points out, the whole thing is a little bit weird because we do allow you during the Seder to eat at times and fill yourself up between the kosot. Maybe you'll get filled with wine or whatever. And we'll be seeing later on what you're allowed to eat. At what point in the Seder, how come we're not worried over there? If even in the same Seder we don't care, why would we care in the Seder before Pesach? And Tosa says, okay, because basically if a guy is eating now, he's going to be careful not to get over full. But when he eats earlier in the day, he fools himself into thinking that, well, I'll be hungry again when it comes to the night, even though he won't be. Okay, that's a possibility. The Rashbam says something very strange, and I think that the meaning, what he's trying to get to, is to deal with this issue in a very different way. And that is, he says that Rabbi Yossi would be meida because of the chiyav of achilas matzah, meaning that the matzah should not be nechelet al hasova. That's one way of reading the Rashbam. Now, that's really weird. Should not be nechelat al hasova. So what he's pointing out is a very beautiful thing, that really we eat matzah twice. We eat matzah for the afikomen, but we eat matzah at the beginning of the Pesach. Our achila matzah, the afikomen, is kineged the zecher for the korban Pesach that was eaten at the end of the meal. There it's bedavka eaten when you are not starving and when you needed to keep a little bit of your appetite alive in order that your final act of achila should be the achila of the Pesach or the achila of the afikomen. Now, if we have a mitzvah of achilas matzah at the beginning of the Seudah, this is a whole big question as to where your Iker Yitzias Chov of matzah is, then bedavka, you do not want that matzah to be something that you eat only after you're full with other things. It needs to be eaten davka when you do have a big appetite. So this would be two different elements of the mitzvah of achila b'layla. Your matzah and your maror that you're eating together with your korban Pesach, those will come in a way that it should be an appetite. But when you get to the final closure of the meal, that's the Pesach, that part is al hasova. That means that we're dealing with a very careful balance of what part of the meal is going to be with a full appetite and the chavivus of that mitzvah, what part of the meal actually shows the chavivus of the mitzvah by not eating it because you're hungry, but rather eating it to put a cap on your achila with the most wonderful part of the meal. Okay, so that's an entire, I haven't seen anybody relate to this Rashbam like that, but it definitely seems to be a beautiful thing that is being miramis to. Okay, so then perhaps, this is approach number one, perhaps the Mishnah is unique because it's going Alibi Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi normally holds there's no problem of eating before Shabbos or Yontem. And on Pesach, he is maskim that Erev Pesach you can't eat. That's one approach. Okay. Rav Papa Amar, no, I disagree. I think you're not reading carefully. The Rabbi Yehuda Shita that you're not allowed to eat on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontev, it doesn't say somuch lemincha. It says mina mincha v'lamala. That's a big difference. And basically, what you have over here is a mitzvah to be mocked him even more. So in other words, you're not allowed to eat on a normal Erev Shabbos from 9:30, but on an Erev Pesach, you're allowed to eat only until 9. And that would be the Kiddush, even a Libud Reb Yehuda. And that explains why the Mishnah says, Samach L'mincha, and the Braita says, Min HaMincha. Big difference. So Afilu Teimer Reb Yehuda, Hatam Barvei Shabbatot V'yamim Tovim Min HaMincha V'lamala Hu D'Yaser. But Samach L'mincha, you would be mutter. Whereas that, when it comes to Erev Pesach, Afilu Samach L'mincha Nami Oser. Now, the Gemara wants to attack that assumption that Rav Pup is making the distinction between 9 o'clock, again, 9 o'clock, meaning 9 o'clock the way we measure time, starting at the beginning of the morning and ending at 12 o'clock at Shkia. That would be for Erev Pesach, and on Erev Shabbos, 9:30. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't even true. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that you're allowed to eat after 9, even on an Erev Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Erev Shabbos, Samach L'mincha, it's mutter. What are you going to do with this bright of HaTanya? Lo yochal adam b'Erev Shabbat v'yomim tovim mitesha sha'ot l'mala. Here it says, don't eat after 9 on Erev Shabbos. And k'deshi kanes Shabbat k'shuta avadi v'Reb Yehuda. Here Reb Yehuda is saying from 9 it's usher, not only from 9:30. So now we seem to have a contradiction in Reb Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, Och v'olach ad shetach shach. Oh, so now we've got a contradiction. Okay, says Mar Zutra, you know, look, there's lots of times that a braita gets messed up. We need to always look over our braitot, make sure that they were passed by Rabbi Chia or by some authority. So, okay, well, man, lema london, but the mitaratzta, what makes you think that this braita is reliable braita? Maybe it's Mishabashta, since there's a contradiction, and therefore Rav Papa was really correct in saying, look, I mean, certainly not going to pay attention to this Braita, because then there's a contradiction in Rav Yehuda. The way that I'm learning it, that the first Braita is correct, it's beautiful, because then there's no contradiction, the Mishnah works out beautifully, I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda. Why make a problem? Omar Le Maremar, well, it would be nice if we could say that, but unfortunately, that's not true. Because as Mar Emar points out, or maybe it was Rav Yemar, he says, I was once fortunate enough to come to the shir of Rabbi Pinchas Breder Rabbani, in which a Tana stood up and said the Braita over in the second way, Somoch L'mincha. And he asked him, is this the correct halacha? And he was mekabel it from him at Kimaminei. So then actually the second Braita is reliable. So wait a minute. So then we're back to our question. If you're telling me that the second Braita is reliable, then that means that the first Braita was simply not being very midugdak, meaning when it said mincha, it really meant somach l'mincha. So then we're back to our question. So how do you explain the difference between Erev Pesach and Erev Shabbos or Erev any other yontif, Yalki Kasha? So therefore, we're stuck with our original answer, namely what Ravuna said. What did Ravuna say? The Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yossi, who normally doesn't have any problem with eating even until Shkia before Shabbos, but when it comes to Erev Pesach, there, because of the Chiyav of Matzah, he does have a problem. Says the Gemara, I hate to break it to you, but it doesn't work out very well according to Ravuna either. Ravuna minecha? Didn't Rabbi Yirmi Om Rabbi Yochanan, or some say Rabbi Avu Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, didn't they say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi on Erev Shabbos? Now, this really messes everything up, because if you tell me the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, then that means Rabbi Yossi does not agree to him. In other words, we have a machlokas across the board, whether it's Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos, whether it's talking about Erev Yontiv. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you can always eat till the end of the day. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can always eat only until 9 o'clock. So we don't have any explanation now if they argue at all times, because if we need to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach, it's quite clear that Rabbi Yossi disagreed with him on Erev Pesach, right? So Michal de Pliga Rabbi Yossi b'tarvayu. Oh, man, so now we don't have any answer. Says the Gemara, well, you're missing a little bit of data here. What you're missing is the fact that you don't know the full extent of the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. You only know this question about when can you start eating, but there's a completely different machlokas. There's another machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about what if you did start eating. Most of Rishonim learn that that means what if you did start eating at the time that it was mutter to eat. So can you continue to eat or do you have to stop eating? That's a different machlokas. And that could well be what we're referring to over here in the halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know exactly which machlokas we're referring to. I say that actually Rav Huna is right. The Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is meida when it comes to Erev Pesach. There's no problem. The reason that we need to paskin like Rabbi Yossi in his putative argument with Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Pesach is that's referring to a different argument. And that was, yes, halachic Rabbi Yossi Bereva Pesach, Michlal de Polig Rabbi Yossi in Hafsaka. Oh, what was that? That's a different machlokas, the Tanya. Mafsikim li Shabbatot. That if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you started eating, and you were eating at a time that it was mutter, now it gets dark, you have to take away your food. You say Birkat HaMazon. Now, in those days, in order to end a Seuda, you were Oker the Shulchan. You took away the food because they had, remember, serving tables, and everybody sat on a serving table. Now, during our learning of the Sugya, we are going to be discussing the din from the time of the Mishnah, when the Minhag of Achila was on separate serving tables. And this has a lot of nafkaminas lahalacha, because mafsikin is called akirat shulchan. We don't do that. So when we need to translate that word of akirat shulchan into meaning we say birkat hamazon, they actually would remove your small serving table before your birkat hamazon, which if you remember back in Masechet Brachot, once that was done, you weren't allowed to continue to eat anything because that was already the hefsek for the birkat hamazon, and that was considered to be nimlach from achila. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, look, when it gets dark, you can keep eating. Now it's time for Shabbos. Now it's time for Yontev. You're going to have to come and make a su'udah for Shabbos. You can't keep eating through the time. And Rabbi Yossi says that's not true. You can simply continue to eat. And ein mafsikin, since you started eating, you would not need to be mafsik. So then this would be a fascinating thing, because what you would have to do, according to Rabbi Yossi, means you're continuing to eat without saying Kiddush. You finish the Seuda, and you say Kiddush after the Seuda. And then the question would be, so then how would that Kiddush be the Kiddush b'mokum Seuda of Shabbos or anything? Tosfos says it would be considered to be Kiddush b'mokum Seuda, because since you made the Kiddush immediately after the Seuda, it would be mitchaber to the Seuda. And because of that, the part of the Seuda that was eaten after nightfall would be considered your Seudat Shabbat because of the fact that you made Kiddush on it, which is quite amazing. Now, what is more amazing is, according to Rabbi Yossi, what would you do if it wasn't Shabbos? What would you do if it was Pesach? So now you're in big trouble, right? Because if you say Birkat HaMazon after the Seuda, so then that would mean that the Kos Rishon of the Seder is Birkat HaMazon. That would be incredible. So your first Kos would be the Kos of Birkat HaMazon. And then the next Kos that you make, that would be the Kos of Kiddush, which would be a complete reversal of the normal way in which you'd make the Seder. And as we'll see later on, each one of the Arba Kosos was Kavua on one of the mitzvahs. So Enochinami says Tosfos, there's no problem. What you would do is you would make Arba Kosos in a completely different way. So you would make the first Kos, Birkas HaMazon. The second Kos would be the Kos Shel Kiddush, which then you would eat the, you know, the dip your potatoes, whatever you're eating. And then you would have the Kos Shlishi with the Manishtana, and then that would be followed by the Morer and so on. And then you would eat, and then the Kos Revi would be hollow. It's absolutely wild, right? But what else could you do? Also, it's very nogea, because the Mishnah Brewer talks about those who paskin like this. If you're caught in this kind of situation, which, of course, a lot of people did for Purim, right? When we had our Erev Shabbos, So people were eating also the Purim Seuda, and then they made it part of the Seuda Shabbos. Oh, big Shaila. But many people did that. And the question would be, the Ashkenazim, the meaning of the Ashkenazim is to make a separate bracha on each one of the Arba Kosot. And that's because of the fact that Chazal were koveya each one of them separately for that mitzvah that they're brought on. Well, normally, if you say a bracha, on a kosher bracha after Birkat HaMazon, and then you drink another kos, if you're going to make that second kos, the kos of Kiddush, you do not make another Bari Pri HaGefen, because you already made a Bari Pri HaGefen on the kosher bracha after Birkat HaMazon. But in this case, you would need to make a bracha on your Kiddush wine, according to the Ashkenazim. Because it would be your second kosa, the Arba Kosas. Really wild, right? The reason, I wouldn't mention all of this kind of stuff, but here it provides a perspective of the interrelationship of the mitzvahs halayla and how they work together with the Seuda and the other inyonim. And we see that things, even though we're used to our specific Seder halayla and all of the things that we sing in the Seder of Kadesh and so on and so forth, it is possible to have an alternative Seder. So this would be Alibin Rabbi Yossi. Okay, many hold, by the way, that Rabbi Yossi, many shittas hold, Rabbi Yossi was never matir doing this. Rabbi Yossi did not allow you to start with your das that you would continue eating. He allowed you only to start eating with the das to finish before, and then it turned out that a lot of people came in and whatever. You ended up eating and eating and eating, or maybe didn't realize that you got caught and was already shkia, that's what you would do. But anyway. It turns out, therefore, we have two completely separate machlokas. When can you start eating, and when must you be mafsik eating? Those are two machlokas. So, therefore, when we're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, we might be paskening like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the din of hafsaka, where there is a machlokas with Rabbi Yossi, even on Erev Pesach. So that way, we don't have a problem. We can still answer. The Mishnah, which is referring to when do you start eating, that's talking about a special dinner on Erev Pesach, like Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi is moda, you cannot start eating. And the Psak Halacha that we questioned before, that says Halachic Rabbi Yehuda Erev Pesach, which means that there is a machlokas, is referring to the Psak like Rabbi Yehuda to be mafsik on Erev Pesach if you start it. But that means that we don't have to be mafsik, it's mashma here, that we're paskening like Rabbi Yossi, on Erev Shabbos. And you don't have to be mafsik if you already started the heter. So that would be the way we learn it. And there was an actual maisa. Maisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi. Shoyim Mesubim, B'nei Bra. No, not exactly. This time, they were Mesubim in Akko. And that's because only Barnea can say it's his neighborhood. And therefore, they had to move there specifically. And there they were, v'kidesh aleihem hayom. And now, all of a sudden, it's shkia. Oh my gosh. So, or tzeta kochavim. Omele Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Yossi. So there were all the shitas were together, right? So Reb Shimon Gamliel says to Reb Yossi, Rebbe, Bar Rebbe, called him Bar Rebbe. Bar Rebbe is a lotion of the Godel Hador, not just anybody. I mean, even though normally you hold that we're not mafsik, I mean, since one of our guests over here is Rabbi Yehuda, maybe lichvodo, you know, we should, in this particular case, make him comfortable, and we should be mafsik. And we'll say Birkat HaMazon, and we'll start over again. Omar lo, so he said to him, here it is, right after Purim, and b'cho yom v'yom atam echavev devarai lifnei Rabbi Yehuda, you usually paskin like me, now Rabbi Yehuda is here, and now you're being mechavev Rabbi Yehuda right in my face? I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. Who are you, Haman? You're trying to, right here in front of me, you're trying to paskin against my shita? Oh, Marley. So then this Reb Shimon Gamliel said, oh, my God. Well, now that we've made such a fuss over it, now we can't do it. Because, I mean, if we would do it, people would think that that means that we're bedafka paskining like Rabbi Yehuda. See, I thought that it would be okay to do, because then everyone would understand it was only being done lechvodo to make him feel comfortable. Now that you say that that's acting like agam lechvoshet amalkei mi babayit, I can't do it at all, so we better not. So imkein lo nafsi, because if we would, shemei yiru atalmidim v'yikbu alach aladorot, and they'll say, there it was, and right in front of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi was maskim to Rabbi Yehuda, and they'll paskim like Rabbi Yehuda, so we better not do that. And indeed, amru, They actually use that to be koveya, that the din really is like a Rabbi Yossi, and ain mafsikin on a normal Shabbos or Erev Yontif. Actually, the halacha is not like either Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Yossi in these circumstances. And if you would be caught in this situation where you've been eating beheter, and now all of a sudden it's time to say Kiddush, what you need to do is neither to be mafsik and take away the table, nor to simply continue eating and make Kiddush after you finish the whole meal, like Rabbi Yossi is saying. But what you would do is you would be pores mapa umekadesh. You take a tablecloth, spread it over the food. You don't take the table away and say Birkat HaMazon. And you would say Kiddush. And that way you would say Kiddush in the middle of the meal. And then you would continue eating. And that would be the equivalent. Now, there's a question of how to understand this. The Rashbam understands this as follows. He says, look, Shmuel is an Amora. He can't argue on both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. That's ridiculous. Where did he get the idea that ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda v'lo k'Rabbi Yossi? That doesn't make sense. The only thing that it must be saying is that Shmuel actually holds to be ikra din like Rabbi Yossi. Namely, you could continue eating, and then you would say Kiddush after the meal. Except that he wanted to be machmer on himself. He wasn't going against him. And he was saying, okay, I don't want to mamish continue eating and be semich on the Suda after the meal. So what I'll do is I will make the Kiddush now, and then I will continue eating, because otherwise what right would you have to do that? And even though we're going to see later on that there is a case in the Gemara that we're about to get to, that where they brought the Sa'uda early, that they would be peres mapa, that, says the Rashbam, has none. This is very important because this confuses the whole sugya. What do we do? What do we do on a normal Erev Shabbos? The challah is on the table, and what, we say Kiddush after bringing the challah to the table? Remember that at the time of the Gemara, again, they use serving tables. The serving table would not be brought out until Kiddush was said. And that way, you are making it absolutely clear that first you were Mekadesh to Shabbos. Now, lechveid that Shabbos that you were Mekadesh, you're bringing in your Sa'uda. You don't bring a Sa'uda out to the table and then say Kiddush, because then that doesn't make it clear that the Sa'uda is specifically a Sa'uda for Shabbos. It's been all there from before. So what we do, as Tosis brings later on, is since we have these big tables, we can't bring out the whole table afterwards and be mafsik everything. So we bring out the challah, even the chatchila, and we put a mapa over the challah. And that way, when we take off the challah cover, that is the equivalent of our bringing out the shulchan. And therefore, that has nothing to do, says the Rashbam, has nothing to do with what's happening over here. Here you're in the middle of a Sa'uda. And when I say that you're pores the mapa, you're pores the mapa, not because of that brisa, you're pores the mapa because Shmuel wanted to be machmir, not to eat a whole Sa'uda before saying Kiddush. But then the question is, what does the prisat mapa do in that case? So there might be two possibilities. One would be the prisat mapa actually makes it possible for you to represent the Su'udah, ta-ta-ta, and now you have a Su'udah that is more lichvot Shabbos, because it's as if you brought it to the table now, even though it was there the whole time, but it was hidden. Or the other way of understanding the Prisat Mapa is that the Prisat Mapa is the equivalent of Siluk HaShulchan. So at least you mamish took it away. So it's as if you removed it and you didn't have it at the time of the Kiddush. But whatever it is, it's problematic to say that he argues on both. Tosfos says this is all unnecessary because the Rashbam forgot the Yerushalmi. And in the Yerushalmi, they bring that Shmuel is going like the Chachamim, and their Rebbe Yehuda says Beferish. All of this was good according to Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi, but the Chachamim, Emrim, and those are Tanoim. And therefore, Shmuel does not have to justify himself as being actually like Rabbi Yossi. And there, the Chachomim Omrim Paris Mapa Umikadesh. So we have two different dinim of Paris Mapa Umikadesh. So then that would mean that this is a third shita, which is similar to a Hafsaka of taking away the table. And that at that point, so then there are those that say, okay, so then that means that you would also be Mevarech Birchas HaMazon, and according to that shita, cover the food, say Birkat HaMazon, say Kiddush, and then open it up again, because it's a completely third shita. Okay, so therefore, Halacha L'maisa, we have to worry about this shita of Shmuel. But wait a minute, that can't be true. How could Shmuel say this? V'omer of Tachlifa Bar Avadimi Omar Shmuel, Kishem Shemafsikim LeKiddush, Kach Mafsikim LaHavdala. So when, I mean, if Shmuel says that it's the same for Kiddush and Havdala, and if that's the case, then I am assuming that that means a complete ending of your Suda. This means if you were sitting on Shabbos and you were having one of these Moshe Forman's Shalashudases, which go on for 4 hours, and now it's well into Mitzvah Shabbos. So then according to that, you have to be mafsik lahavdala, which I'm assuming what that means is you have to be mafsik, take away the table, and then you say havdala. And I'm assuming that that means, I mean, a hefsik, doesn't hefsik mean that? I mean, if you're saying the lashon of mafsikin, it's mashma literally mafsikin, because all along when we say mafsikin, it means to be oiker the shulchan. So that would mean that Shmuel Dafka holds that it's not enough to be Paris Mapa. So my mafsikim lav lakirat shulchan? No. Maybe it just means lemapa. So now it once happened that Rabba Baravuna came to the Resh Galuta. Now this was talking about regular Shabbos, and they bring his serving table to him before he said Kiddush. Now, you're not supposed to have the serving table before you say Kiddush. And again, as I mentioned to you before, a few moments ago, we have a problem, which Tosis addresses here, because we can't move our entire dining room table with 10 settings on it and wait till after Kiddush. So therefore, we are not bound completely by the halacha. We're careful not to set the whole table with all of the food on the table. But we do bring the challah to the table already. However, we're Pores Mapa, and that's called the Shabbos cover. Now, there are many others who learn that there's other reasons for the Shabbos cover, reasons that you're all very familiar with. One reason is that we don't want the Bizoyan HaPat, that even though the pot is listed earlier in terms of the Dinim of Brachas, we're ignoring the Bracha on the pot, and we're saying a Bracha on Yayin. And therefore, in order that that shouldn't be an issue, we cover the pot and we say the Baruch on the Yayin. Here, Tosfos is saying that the reason for the challah dekel is to make certain that the bringing of the challah with the voila, when you take off the challah dekel, should be bringing the challah lichvod, the Shabbos table. It's a completely different idea. Then remember, there's also the medrash about the man, and that the man was covered on both sides. So the challah dekel is there in order to cover the challah from on top, to be meramis to the lechem mishnah, which was covered as it fell with the man. So there's really a number of different inyonim, and they are addressed here in the sugya. One new sugya that we never heard before is that this is the equivalent of a akira shulchan. So anyway, he is pretty embarrassed. What do I do? I don't think you're supposed to make kiddush after they bring already the table in front of me. So what he did was he was paras mapa v'kidesh. This is the what we're referring to earlier in the Rashbam. Don't mistake this for the question of eating b'isser. That's not the case over here. Cases you came from shul and everything was fine. It was normal. It's not that they were eating before, but on any normal time when you come from shul, there should not be the open challah. It should be covered at the time of the kiddush. Tanya nami hachi. Ein Midrash Rashbam says he has no idea how he believes this Shavin is a mistake, and somebody pulled up the Shavin from later on in the page that we'll see in a moment. Ein Mevim et HaShulchan Ela Im Kein Kidesh. Do not bring the table, meaning the serving table, to the food, to the person who's going to be saying Kiddush, unless he said Kiddush already. V'im Hevi, if they did, and they did the wrong thing, so then you're Mevi Pores, you're Pores Mapa, and you're Mekadesh. Now, I'm still confused because there's a one braita that says that even though Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue, they agree that you don't start eating. That's really strange because they don't. Another braita says that even though Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda argue about whether you're mafsik, they agree that you can start eating. What in the world could that possibly mean? So, I mean, look, I could say that when it says, even though they argue, they're moida that you're not allowed to start, that's true on Erev Pesach, the way Ravuna was learning, right? They continue to argue about Hafsaka, but as the Mishnah is pointing out, the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is moida, you don't begin. And on Erev Pesach, once it's 9 o'clock, Somach Lamincha, you are not allowed to begin. That works out really nice, according to Ravuna Dafka, and that would be a braita that would be completely like what Ravuna is saying. But what is the second thing? It says, Hadatanya, and they agree that you can certainly matchilin. What? You can never, nobody agrees you could be matchilin. That's where they argue. What are we talking about over here? Are we talking about an Erev Shabbos? A Miflat Pligi. That's where the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is. Nah, that's what it means is, Lokasha, they agree that before 9 o'clock, that you can, in fact, begin. So even Rabbi Yehuda is made up, that you're allowed to begin a Suda before 9 o'clock by Heter, and then you can continue eating. So, kan kodem tisha, kan li acher tisha.